Good morning. We will begin the 2020 decade here at Eastern Municipal Water District with our first meeting, and I will ask our lead counsel, Steve, would you be so kind as to join us in leading the Pledge of Allegiance this morning?
Absolutely. Please face the flag and pledge with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
April, do we have any guests that we'd like to note this morning?
Yes, we have Graham Juby from Corollo Engineers. We also have Carlos Cruz, who is an applicant here at EMWD.
Very good. Well, welcome. We will then move on to our executive reports. Mr. Jones, if you'd be so kind. Oh, excuse me. My esteemed colleague reminded me. April, do we have anybody looking to do public comment this morning?
No, we do not.
Okay. Thank
you. Morning. Happy New Year, members of the board. Vice President Pauly, my written report is included in your package. I wanted to update you on a few items. On December 20th, President Sullivan and I had a chance to meet with the Western Municipal Water District General Manager and board members to discuss the revised conceptual proposal for their participation in our $73 million groundwater recovery and treatment program. As you know, we've been working with them. They have an interest in participating in the project. And have exchanged proposals back and forth. We did come to, I think, a good consensus, however. Essentially, what we would provide for Western through the project is a limited amount of water from the groundwater recovery project that would be used to serve the March Air Reserve Base, and only the March Air Reserve Base. Currently, the demands at the March Air Reserve Base are about 500 acre-feet per year. The overall project produces about 6,750 acre-feet per year. And what we had proposed is, as development or redevelopment on the base expands over time, that would be capped at 1,500 acre-feet per year. Also, we proposed that we would design, build, own, operate the project and basically provide Western Water on a utility basis. They agreed to that, and we would recover costs based on our project development, capital, operating, and maintenance costs, and would give them the benefit of the grant for this limited amount of water. They concurred with this approach, and so we are now in a phase where we will be finalizing the term sheet for this. They wanted to execute an MOU. We told them we would prefer to just develop a project participation agreement because ultimately we'd need one to implement the project. So we will be working with their staff to put together the term sheet. Once the term sheet's finalized, we will bring that to the board for review and then put together the agreement. So I think it's a good consensus that works for them. They're very pleased. I really like the nexus between the groundwater recovery project and really providing a local reliable water supply at a lower cost for the March Air Reserve Base. I think that's a very strong link to this project. And I think it's also going to help us continue to work with the Air Force because we need cooperation from the Air Force to deliver the project. So I think that provides an incentive for the Air Force to work with us. So I think it's a good compromise.
Yeah, Paul, I agree. It's a very creative, and I think it's a really good way to approach that. And I think it sends a really good message to the state. They were very generous to us, and it was well deserved to get that kind of a grant. But to help sort of share it this way, I think is really good. So I commend you on coming up with that idea. I think it's great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Under past ongoing activities, today is the formal launch of our customer service, self-service portal. We will go live this afternoon sometime, it appears. And our beta tester, Director Polly, has been using this extensively already. But what we'll do and what we'd like to do is at the next board meeting is provide a full demonstration for the board of the customer self-service portal. This has really been a long-time goal, and I think it's really going to improve our customers' ability to access information, pay bills, and so forth, and really see in real time what their water use is. And also, I think from a customer service standpoint, we'll save us money in terms of less calls to the call center and a number of things. So I think it's really a next step for us. Second, I want to point out Metropolitan, at the end of the calendar year, terminated the cichlid storage in lieu credit program. If you'll recall back in August, because of surplus water conditions, Metropolitan offered a program where we could shut off wells, take treated surface water from Metropolitan, and then they would give us a credit for the difference in the cost for the treatment surcharge. We took advantage of that program very quickly. And our goal was to store a little over 4,000 acre feet using that program. I'm pleased to report we were able to get 4,337 acre feet into the ground with that program. The way our adjudication works is that just gets credited to our carryover credit. So that's water that we have available to us directly through the adjudication by not producing from those wells. It goes into our carryover account. And so I think we did quite well on the program, given the limited amount of time. Met has indicated that the programs may be initiated should conditions stay wet throughout the upcoming months, but we'll continue to monitor that. But I think we did pretty well on that. Also, just although they did terminate the cyclic storage program, we are still getting Savova deliveries. And in fact, we are right now getting recharging Savova settlement water. And to date this year, we are taking 2022 Savova settlement deliveries and have about 1,970 acre feet of water in the ground through 2022. Met indicated that they will be contacting us later this month to determine if they'd like to continue with the Savova settlement deliveries. But given the wet conditions, we're optimistic that they're going to want to continue to do that on an ongoing basis. Other items of interest to the board. Oh, do you have a question, Director Floyd? I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. This week, starting January 6th, Cal OSHA is in here at Eastern. They are completing their week-long inspection and audit of Eastern Municipal Water District to support our recertification under the Cal OSHA Voluntary Protection Program, specifically our CalSTAR certification. That evaluation process is very rigorous. Cal OSHA team of six inspectors comes in. They look at different sites. They do employee interviews. They look at our documentation. But as background, the Cal VPP program is really designed to recognize employers that go kind of above and beyond the minimum Cal OSHA standards and really set a example for the industry. We've been a Cal VPP certified agency since 1999. We were the first agency in the country, a public agency, to be certified in this nationally, if you look at a national basis, and still to this day in the state of California, we're the only public agency that is certified and have been recertified five times. There's very significant benefits, I believe, from this program. We have reduced office work time, fewer accidents, obviously, fewer accident claims. We have a very safe construction work site, particularly when you look at our metrics compared to industry standards. And in fact, our safety incident rate is about 2.11% versus an industry average of over 5.4%. So we really see tangible results as part of the program. So Cal OSHA will complete all their field work this week. They'll notify us of the inspection and recertification results later in January. But so far, so good in the first few days. Another item we've been following is the Newsom administration's release of the 2020 Water Resilience Portfolio. This document was released on January 3rd. It was put together by three agencies, state agencies, California Resources, Cal EPA, and California Department of Food and Agriculture. In your report, your written report, I do have a link to the document. The document includes 117 recommendations under 27 different categories, and the recommendations vary from, I would say, kind of semi-specific recommendations to very more general policy-related recommendations. It's not specific projects and programs. However, I think it is worth noting that one of the 117 recommendations does specifically call for a single tunnel under the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta to safeguard the State Water Project and Central Valley Project supply. So it was good to see a reference to the tunnel in there. It wasn't extensive, but it was clearly in there. But it also includes multiple recommendations that were developed by not only Aqua, and we worked with Aqua to put those recommendations together, but also Water Reuse and the Water Reuse Association. And there's some very strong recommendations and specific recommendations that were put together by the Water Reuse Association, which were essentially included in the portfolio. Now, I think really what the next step is, if you think about the portfolio, is there's probably going to be a water bond this year. And so the discussion is, how do you translate the portfolio into a water bond or into components of the climate resilience bond that's being discussed and provide funding for projects? So we'll be working through the associations on that. And with that, that concludes my report, unless there's any questions.
Well, just a comment, Paul. You mentioned the governor's water portfolio, and I'm not very far into it, but I did notice that there's a reference to trying to deal with non-functional turf.
Yeah.
Or ornamental turf, I think they call it, which, you know, I don't think it's unusual for this agency to be ahead of the curve, and we're already working hard on that. So I think I just kind of
interesting. Oh, that's an interesting one. Yeah. Well, thank you. Any other comments or questions?
Thank you very much.
Oh, before I do that, as you all know, before the end of the year, we had an employee appreciation event. And it was very successful. The employees enjoyed that very much. I know the board members' schedules were really constrained. But one of the things we did was produce and put together a video for the employees to kind of talk about Eastern and have different employees talk about, you know, their experiences with the district and why they liked working at the district. And what was interesting is we thought we would have to coach employees or potential, and it was fascinating because the interviews were very kind of organic. And the employees made some really, I thought, positive comments about the district. So since you weren't there, we're going to go ahead and, if it's okay, show that video.
Absolutely.
How long is the video?
About 5 minutes.
About 5 minutes, if that's okay, with your permission.
Roll it.
USWD employee video. Corey, take one, Mark.
Look good. I get to be 6 feet tall today.
Okay, tell me your name, your title, your department, and how many years you've been in the industry.
My name is Chris Garcia. I am in the timeout.
Yeah.
What am I in?
Hi, my name is Antoinette Marlon.
Maroon Alhaj.
My name is Rafael Ojeda, an EMWD meter repair technician.
I'm a construction administrator.
I work in the customer service billing department.
Treatment plant maintenance technician 1.
I've been in the industry for 7 years.
28 years.
I have 1 year experience here at Eastern Municipal Water District.
I entered the laboratory field because I've always enjoyed laboratory work. My mother said when I was a child, I would make potions in the toilet with whatever I could find, cleanser, cleaner, perfume, and I could never figure out how I got caught because I would smell just horrendous. And so after 21 years of doing this kind of work, she always reminded me how funny it was that I started making potions in the toilet, and now I analyze what's actually coming from the toilet.
So as a construction and safety inspector, I pretty much do quality control and safety audits.
A distribution operator is like a first responder. I received a call in the middle of the night for a hit hydrant. So I put my rain suit on and then went under the water falling and got soaked looking for the valve. And I realized that the valve was actually across the street, so it was unnecessary for me to even get soaked.
I am a representative of the dark side of the Houston Municipal Water District. If you don't pay your bill, I unfortunately have to come to your house. I think I've been called everything under the sun, but my favorite one is a little old lady on the second floor opened her window, was very upset that I had turned her off, so she told me that she was going to kick my mom's butt, and I just said thank you and have a nice day.
I applied for the job at EMWD because I was looking for my forever job. I was looking for something that was close to home, that provided excellent customer service, and I looked on the website, and everything about the company was just awesome, and I knew at that point that this was the job for me.
I believe that the public doesn't really grasp the importance of having clean water and a reclamation facility. We see wastewater come into our facility where it's just black, it's nasty, it doesn't even look like you would want to drink it, and we take that and we make it into what resembles sparkless water.
We're providing an excellent service, a service that is reliable, dependable, and it makes me feel good knowing that we're doing an honest day's work.
One of the most fulfilling things about my job is repairing a subsidence or fixing a hit hydrant, especially when it's 110, 115, and we're in Sun City where the elderly live.
Something that I find rewarding about the work that I do is really take a difficult situation and turn it around and make it a happy one, where the customer is satisfied and truly pleased with the services that they've received.
This last year, we did a team building exercise in the office. And our co-workers came up with this challenge of, hey, bring a picture of you as a child. We're going to put it on a board, and we're going to have a whole month of people guessing who's who. And it was a very fun exercise, and I thought people would not know me, and they recognized me right away. It's like, yeah, I guess this is you, those are your eyes. It left a very good feeling in me about getting to know my team and the department overall.
Our whole team in the locations department, we are a deep field. We all work as a great team together.
I have to give a shout out to all the ladies in the billing department. Every morning we shuffle hundreds and hundreds of pieces of paper. I got to give a shout out to the rest of the guys in my crew. I do appreciate their hard work. It goes unrecognized a lot of times, so I appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Dave G, for the opportunity. And in fact, I want to highlight all the meters too, from Gina to the other techs to the other technicians to the DTOs. You guys are all outstanding.
Right now, Scott, Anthony, and Carl are probably my biggest support and make the job fun.
I'd like to highlight Matt Barasik, Lisa Reyes,
Eric Zapata,
Charles Underwood,
Brenda Koyman. She's amazing.
I could always depend on Jake if I ever need help.
Raul Labarra is one of the coworkers I would highlight the most.
But Danny and Joe, you're cool too.
Oh, new business. Big shout out to new business.
Our construction department and water operations, collections department and operations,
the IOC.
Recycled water, wastewater, inspection, safety, purchasing, finance, engineering.
Maintenance staff members, our control technicians.
Oh yeah, PGA. Sorry, I forgot about you.
Even though we all work for different departments, we're all one big family, and we all strive for that one goal and common cause.
EMWD is family to me. It's done everything for me. It's gotten me from where I didn't have anything. I was just a high school graduate, and they pushed me through college, reimbursed me for everything, provided benefits and retirement for my wife and my kids. Give me endless opportunity.
If I had to sum up my job in one word, it would be awesome.
Longevity.
Compassionate.
Describe my job in one word, it would have to be exciting.
Amazing.
Thriving. If I had to describe my job in one word, it would be family.
As you can imagine at the employee event, and when people heard their different names, they'd be cheering. So I think it was very well received by staff, and also I think very heartfelt by those who actually stood up in front of the camera and made those comments. So anyway, I thought you'd appreciate
that. Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing that. All right, we will move on. Nick, do you have anything for us this morning?
You know, I didn't, but I'd like to add on to the update Nicole gave you on the CalSTAR VPP audit that's ongoing. I had the opportunity last night to sit in on the debrief from the audit team. At the end of the day, they all report out as far as where they went, what facilities looked at, who they met with. their initial observations as far as improvements. But I wanted to share with you that the general feedback was very positive, as Paul had mentioned, but specifically a number of the audit team had noted that our water reclamation facilities were just in excellent condition. They couldn't talk more highly with regards to the housekeeping, the knowledge of the staff, the protocols and systems in place. And I want to acknowledge Jeff Wall and Matt Melendres in particular, their team and all their efforts in you know really kind of setting the bar as high as that they have. Very impressive.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen. Laura, do you have anything this morning?
Nothing to add.
All right. Joe?
Good morning. Just one quick item. This afternoon, LAFCO will be hosting a meeting here at EMWD in regards to the focused Marietta service study that they are advancing. And then we obviously will be participating in that, along with staff from Rancho Water District, Western Municipal Water District, as well as the city of Marietta. The purpose of the workshop today is primarily focused on sharing with us the infrastructure details that they've identified associated with serving the area by each one of the three water agencies. Also, they're going to be sharing with us for the first time the financial model that they have developed that looks at the cost and rate considerations associated, again, serving the area by each one of our agencies. So we'll be reviewing the information they will be providing us, providing feedback, and of course we'll be providing an update on what we learn to the planning committee as we go forward.
Good. Thank you so much. Jeff.
Good morning and Happy New Year to all of you. Two items I would like to bring forward. First, as you're aware, the Inland Empire Energy Center has now gone offline, and they're actively beginning the process to deconstruct that facility down to 12 feet below grade. That freed up a substantial amount of recycled water. That combined with the fact that we did enter winter with a little bit more in storage than we would have liked to. We recently just completed a kind of a remarketing effort where we reached out to all our different customers in the order of priority and reallocated an additional 2,700 acre feet of that water to other customers, primarily agriculture. We didn't have any new takers really on the industrial side or the M&I side, but we have to report that we have made that water available to additional people. Currently, because of our position with storage, discharging about 14 million gallons per day primarily from the Semeco plant, and we will continue to monitor storage, the weather, our demands, et cetera, and do what we can to ensure that we enter the spring or late spring with all of our storage topped off so we can keep as much of that water here for our customers' use. Lastly, I would like to report that the media for the biofilter at the Paris wastewater plant is now in port. It has to clear customs. Matt and his team, purchasing staff, are conducting a pre-job safety meeting as well as a pre-construction meeting with the contractor. Recall the board awarded that project to Genesis Construction based on bids a month or two ago. As soon as the media does clear customs, that project is ready to go to media, and that's very important, as you're aware. We want to do what we can to maintain a positive quality of life for people in and around our wastewater plants, and odor control is extremely important to us. So.
Very good. Any questions for anybody?
In that case, we will move on to our consent calendar. Before I ask for motion, Joe, I had a question on item E on the consent calendar. This will make available then recycled water to the new development at Washington Street, is my understanding, correct? For the green belts and
yes, so this is a portion of the overall project.
Okay.
Faulty Homes is advancing street improvements, and we would like to take that opportunity to install a portion of the recycled water pipeline prior to completion of those street improvements, so we can realize cost savings. So we're proposing to enter into an agreement with Faulty Homes to advance construction of that portion and then reimburse them accordingly. But you're absolutely right, Director Pauly, this is ultimately to serve that area and those customers that we've discussed in the past.
Okay, very good. Thank you. With that, if there's no other questions or on the consent calendar, I will look for a motion and a second on the consent.
I'll move it with the understanding that you can show me as abstaining on the minutes since I missed the
Okay. We will show Director Record abstaining on the minutes.
Second.
We have a second.
All in favor of the consent calendar?
Aye.
Aye. Good. It's a 4-0 vote with Director Sullivan absent. With that, we will go to our action calendar. And item A is to approve and authorize an agreement with Corello Engineers for $998,000 for the final design of the Moreno Valley Regional Water Reclamation Facility Plant 2B equipping project and appropriation in the amount of $1,144,000. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Some background on this project, and we'll be presenting the scope of work with the consultant as well as the schedule and a recommendation. The aerial image on the right shows the operating portion of the Moreno Valley Water Reclamation Facility. There are a couple areas that are highlighted on this diagram. On the left, the yellow area is the Class 1 location. That is a treatment facility, a treatment plant on that site that was constructed originally around 1967. It's been modified over the years, expanded. At this point in time, it's in need of overall rehabilitation to maintain long-term service. On the lower portion of the page, there is Plant 2. It's divided into two portions. Plant 2A is currently in operation, and then Plant 2B is not in operation. As mentioned before, there are two operating portions on the site, Plant 1 and 2. We did a structural condition assessment of Plant 1 back in 2017. And in 2018, we evaluated an alternative project of equipping Plant 2B. And we advanced the preliminary design of equipping Plant 2B. At the completion of the preliminary design of Plant 2B equipping, the costs were higher than we anticipated. And we went back and looked at rehabilitating Plant 1 as a maybe possibly a lower cost option. And we've completed that study, and we're back here to report on that, and also to explain what our recommendation is to proceed. When they did the original condition assessment of Plant 2B and identifying potential costs of bringing it into service, they did not consider the overall structures that needed to be added to the project to make a complete project. And during the preliminary design, we added structures as shown on the bottom of this diagram, including a carb process, a sensory equalization tank, and an influence structure. And these were costs that increased the cost of potentially equipping Plant 2B. We deem these structures are important enough they need to be included in the project, and if we were to advance that, we would want to make that a complete project. We went back to look at what it would take to rehabilitate Plant 1, and Plant 1 is currently in operation. And so this became a constructability issue and a sequence issue for this area of the plant. And they identified several areas where we have leaking pipes and galleries. We have inoperable gates, as well as the power distribution system for that location would have to be upgraded and replaced. And this is going to require a significant amount of temporary gear for temporary power and also bypass operations to do that while it's in operation. In the big picture, what we also considered is that both Plant 1 and Plant 2 would fully need to be functional in the future for this site. And so we now considered whether or not the sequencing offered any potential advantage. And what we found is that by equipping Plant 2B, we could actually lower the cost of rehabilitating Plant 1 when it's offline. It also gives more flexibility to the site with regards to choices in operation. So from that standpoint, we found that it's actually preferred to advance the equipping of Plant 2B. Back in December of 2018, the board awarded a contract to Corello Engineers for the preliminary design of Plant 2B equipping, and that was a competitive selection process. They have successfully completed the preliminary design, and they've demonstrated a significant amount of value during the entire effort for this project. We negotiated a fee for Corello Engineers to perform the final design services and support services during bidding. Their scope of work includes final design, safety and pre-use analysis, bid document preparation, construction cost estimate, preparing a construction schedule, as well as bid service. We negotiated a fee in the amount of $998,000 for them to perform those scope of services. Our proposed schedule, we are approaching you today for consideration of the project. We would like to issue a notice to proceed this month. We would anticipate that we would finish the final design toward the end of this year, this calendar year, an advanced construction advertisement, hopefully by the end of this year, and essentially have a complete project in construction in place by January of 2023. Recommendation, award of contract for a Coral Engineer for the final design of the Marina Valley Plant 2B equipment project in the amount of $998,000, and an award of services required to complete the final design and an appropriation of $1,144,000. That concludes the presentation, if there's any questions.
We also have representatives, Representative Quo here, Graham Juby, who's the Vice President Principal in charge on this project.
Good. Well, thank you for being here for this item. If there are no questions, I'll look for a motion and a second. I move approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Nobody opposed. The item passes 4-1 with Director Sullivan absent. We'll go to item B, which is to approve and authorize award of contract to Corello Engineering for $674,202 for the Warm Springs Sewage Lift Station Rehabilitation Preliminary Design and Condition Assessment of the Upstream Trunk Sewers and Appropriation of $1,116,200.
That's a pretty long title.
It is a long title.
I'll try to cover the entire topic and be as direct and brief as I can. This aerial photograph really is focused on the Warm Springs Lift Station site. It's located in Temecula near the intersection of Diaz and Winchester Road, north of Winchester Road. And this diagram has several things on it. It's kind of busy, but I want to point out a couple of things. One is the red box, the outline, is the extent of property that we have on that site. Inside that property area, you'll see a purple hatched area, and that is the location of a below-ground wet well structure. There's also a building on the site, as you can see, adjacent to the purple hatch area. There happens to be a storm drain that is to the left of our building, and I also want to point out the black hatch lines that are coming into the location for two sites. Those are the trunk sewers that deliver sewage to the site, and there are manholes along that location. The manhole just outside our property boundary on the left was the location of the recent sinkhole that was observed around the Thanksgiving break, and that has been a focus of concern for that site, and we are planning to address that in the near future. This project started with a concern about the condition assessment of the wet well itself. I'll discuss a little bit more about the wet well. So this site is a dry pit installation. The 3D image on the left shows you both the dry pit portion and the wet well portion. The left portion, being the dry pit, is the location where the pumps are located. And you can actually enter this area. It's about 24 feet deep, and you can take a staircase down to the bottom floor and actually walk around in that particular area. On the right is the wet well. That's where the sewage comes into the lift station. And this was an area of concern. We retained a team of Howard Ridley and Kleinfeller to help us do an initial assessment. They entered the wet well. And the photos on the right are some of the photos that were taken during that initial assessment. What they identified was that the lining and coating of that wet well had deteriorated, and that we had soft concrete on the surface. They did one concrete pour and one wall, and that pour did have some strength, but I think we still have concerns about the overall condition of this lift station. And as part of this project that we are proposing to do in preliminary design, we plan to do a field investigation to fully document the condition of this lift station. That field investigation effort will require entry into this wet well. To do the entry, we have to bypass the sewers. And as part of this project, we're also proposing an admin award for a contractor to perform a bypass services while we do the field investigation work. Some additional photos from that site investigation, and this photo on the right is an interesting photo. It's a photo taken by the person that actually entered the wet well looking up, and you see the access hatchway. That's the rectangular structure that's circled in red is where the individual entered the wet well. And they're looking up, and you can see the person waving at them and through the hatch. And the point here being is that on the edge of that hatch, there is some spalling of the concrete. So we have some concerns about the integrity of the concrete lid that's out there. And this is going to be a challenge for us when we do our field investigation, but we intend to perform all the work and access into this area in as safe a manner as possible. In addition to focusing on a preliminary design for the rehabilitation of the Warren Springs lift station, this project will also perform a condition assessment of the upstream trunk sewers. This will be done in tandem with this project. As we do the bypass of this lift station, we will be surcharging the sewer system. We want to be sure that we have a sewer system that's in good shape. And considering the recent sinkhole that's been observed adjacent to the site, I think it's a worthy effort to do the condition assessment. We're going about a mile and a half up each sewer line, and we will be looking at both the sewers and the manholes. We issued a proposal for the scope of services requested in October to 11 consultants. As you may recall, the event on the sinkhole was observed around Thanksgiving, and we came back from our Thanksgiving break on December 2nd. We received four proposals on this project, so it was very timely. A selection committee was comprised of both operations and engineering, and they reviewed the proposals for project understanding, involvement, experience, capacity and availability of firms, and past experience of for each firm. This is the consultant matrix, the output from the selection committee process. All four firms were fully capable of performing this work. Two firms were ranked slightly higher than the other two firms, and it was based on their broader demonstration in their proposals of the skills needed to perform this work. The fee range, three firms proposed fees roughly in the range around $675,000. One firm had a higher fee, they had spent a lot more effort on preliminary design. But I think this demonstrates that the consulting community viewed the scope of work similarly, and that there was a fairly good definition of the scope for the purposes of bidding the project. Consultant scope of work includes project management, quality control, preliminary design of the Warm Springs lift station rehabilitation, as well as a condition assessment of the upstream trunk sewers. I just want to also point out that we will be retaining the services of a contractor to assist with the bypass of the lift station, and as part of this, we're asking for an admin award of those services at this time. Our proposed schedule, this was written before I had a chance to get some input from Jeff Wall. But we are proposing to, again, based on award by the board, proceed with a notice this month and to get into the field by July. And I think Jeff is asking for us to do an expedited delivery of this scope of services to the extent possible while maintaining as safe an entry as possible. But we anticipate that we'll be coming back to the board for approval of final design and eventually a construction solution for the rehabilitation of the Warm Springs lift station. Recommendation, award of a contract to Corolo Engineers in the amount of $674,202 for the preliminary design for the Warren Springs lift station rehabilitation and sewer condition assessment. Add an award for a construction contract in the amount of $246,500 for the bypass pumping services, as well as an admin award for services needed to complete the preliminary design and condition assessment of upstream sewers, as well as an appropriation in the amount of $1,116,200. That concludes the presentation. If there's any questions.
I have no questions.
No questions.
Move staff recommendation.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed, with Director Sullivan absent.
Thank you, Eric.
Very good. Thank you, Eric. We will go to item C, which is to approve and authorize the award of contracts with J.R. Filnick Construction Company, Incorporated for $438,962 for the Moreno Valley and Temecula Valley Regional Water Reclamation Facilities Aeration Panel Membrane Replacements, and Hemet Manufacturing Company, Incorporated, doing business as Genesis Construction for $484,228 for the Paris Valley Regional Water Reclamation Facility Aeration Panel Membrane Replacements, and Parkson Corporation for Aeration Membrane Materials for $406,068 for a total project cost not to exceed $1,642,000.
a much longer.
Think about that trophy.
Yes.
You did well. Trophy. Or a.
Sure, you are.
Maybe
up.
Not. Good morning. This year we're performing another round of aeration membrane panel replacements. This year we'll be doing more panels at Reno Valley, half of Plant 2 at Temecula, and Plant 3 at Paris. And just as a reminder, these aeration membranes go into the aeration basin. They are what provides the dissolved oxygen to treat the VOD and ammonia. Left is what it looks like in operation. The picture on the right is the panels in the bottom of the basin. This is a schematic of one of the forms of the Parkson panels that we currently own. There's a big metal or plastic backing plate covered by the membrane, which is what we're purchasing as a part of this project. As you can see, there's hundreds of bolts and nuts per panel that have to be removed and replaced during the work to get a new membrane installed. So there's higher maintenance costs to these panels, but these panels do have the benefit of higher oxygen transfer efficiency, which saves us some money on electricity as long as the panels are in good shape. So while they are more efficient over time as they age, there's fouling that takes place on the very tiny pores on the membranes where the air diffuses through, and that fouling can decrease overall airflow. Also, the material gets brittle over time and can mechanically fail and break open, which causes large bubbles, which are also less efficient at transferring oxygen. So the combination of those two things results in lower water quality over time and more challenging to oxidize ammonia and meet our TIN requirements. And this is a picture, one of the old membranes. It's a pretty good picture because you can see the mineral and biofilm fouling, as well as a spot where the panel has mechanically failed and torn open. So this year, it's a total of 766 membranes. This will get Plant 2A panels repaired and replaced before we begin the project to put Plant 2B online. This will get Plant 3 at Paris done, and half of Plant 2 at Temecula next year. We have a project plan to do the other half of Plant 2 at Temecula, and then Plant 1 at San Jacinto, and over these 3 years, everything will be brand new. So we'll be taking the tanks offline, draining them, cleaning them. That'll be done by district staff. And then the aeration panel removal and reskinning and reinstallation will be done by the contractor. These membranes come from Parkson Company. We're only able to purchase them from Parkson, so we're going direct to them for that. And thankfully, they once again gave us a discount on the membranes. This is our proposal evaluation summary for the contract services. We asked for separate line items for each facility so we could pick the lowest combination. J.R. Philant did all three plants last year, and they're the lowest bidder for Temecula and Moreno Valley. They did a great job, so we've proposed selecting them. Genesis has a lot of experience doing this work as well, and they were the low bid for Paris. This is the overall cost estimate, including contractor and materials for each facility. Total estimated project cost, as we stated, is $1,642,000. Which is within our project budget. So we plan to start at Moreno and Paris first. Actually wrote this in November, so at the time we thought we'd be starting by January. It's looking like February now. We'll begin and wrap the project up in August. So the recommendations are to award to Philance for $438,962, and to Genesis for Paris for $484,000, as well as a contract to Parkson for the membrane kits for $406,000.
Any questions?
No.
I had one, just out of curiosity. What do we do with the old panels? Are they recycled? Or are they?
Now, that membrane material doesn't have any value, so it just goes in the trash. But the backing plate and the supports that go over the top, all that's reused as much as we can. Sometimes the backing plates corrode also and have holes in them, and we replace those. The PVC ones will wear out over time.
Okay, just curious about them.
Yeah.
All right. With that, I will look for a motion and a second on those staff's recommendations.
Sure.
And moved to second. All in favor?
Aye.
No one opposed, with Director Sullivan out.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Very good. We have no informational items or presentations on today's agenda, so we will go to item 6, which is to receive and file various reports, and I will look for a motion and a second.
Move approval.
Second.
It's been moved to second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed 4-0 with Director Sullivan absent. With that, we will go to our calendar review. Nicole, good morning.
Good morning, Vice President Pauley, members of the board. Happy New Year. I have three new events for your consideration. The first is Thursday, January 16th. The Santa Ana Regional Water Quality Control Board will be holding a special meeting here at the district. The topic of that meeting is the moratorium on septic in Quail Valley. That meeting is at 5 p.m. if anyone is interested in attending. On Friday, January 24th, the Senate
Director Sullivan will probably attend that, so you might want to remind everyone.
Okay. Thank you. On January 24th, which is a Friday, the Southern California Water Coalition will hold its first quarterly luncheon for this year. That will be at the DoubleTree Hotel in Ontario at noon.
Yes.
Sorry. Thank you, Director Pauley.
Happy to.
On Tuesday, January 28th, the Building Industry Association will hold its Inland Empire Economic Outlook event at the Riverside Convention Center, and that event will be from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m.
You put me down. Sir.
Thank you. Moving to page 2, the board's calendar for the next 2 weeks, beginning with tomorrow. For Director Slauson's calendar, we have his update meeting with the General Manager at 7:30 a.m. in Marina Valley. At 8:30 a.m., Director Corona has the Rancho California Water District Board meeting. At 11:30 a.m., the Joint Inland Caucus and the Joint Inland and Orange County Caucus will meet in Chino for Director Record's calendar. And at 6:30 p.m., the Winchester MAC meeting is on Director Pauley's calendar. Friday, January 10th, Director Pauley will attend the French Valley groundbreaking for the library at 1 p.m. On Monday, January 13th and Tuesday, January 14th, the Metropolitan Water District Board and Committee meetings are scheduled, and those are on Director Record's calendar. Tuesday, January 14th, we have the Board Administrative Committee for Directors Pauley and Sullivan at 4 p.m., and that is a reschedule. Wednesday, January 15th, Director Pauley has an update meeting with the General Manager at 7:30 a.m. in Paris. And the Santa Ana River Watershed Ambassador Program event will be held in Riverside at 9:30 a.m. on the 15th, and that's on Director Pauley's calendar. And Director Record has an update meeting with the General Manager on the 15th at 2:30 p.m., just before the Board Planning Committee at 3:30 p.m. for Director Record and Corona. Thursday, January 16th, we have the Board Executive Committee meeting at 7:30 a.m. Director Slauson, we may be in contact about rescheduling that meeting because of an upcoming event that conflicts.
Okay.
Thank you.
And it might just be postponing it a couple of hours. There's a City of Menifee event that Director Sullivan was invited to. It's not really an event. It's a coordination meeting. Okay. So we'll try to work around that schedule, but Nicole will be in touch with you. We need to confirm with Director Sullivan that he's...
Maybe we could schedule it in the afternoon right before the
Western
meeting.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll propose that. Thank you, Director Sullivan. And since you covered the Western meeting, I'll skip that one. on Tuesday, January 21st, we have the SAPA Commission meeting in Riverside beginning at 9:30 a.m. for Director Slauson's calendar. Looking at page 3, we have some upcoming events that the board will be attending. Just a note that we've added the Aqua Legislative Symposium, March 12th, which is a Thursday at 9 a.m. And the night before, the Inland Empire and Orange County Water Agencies will hold their joint legislative reception, if anyone is interested in traveling to Sacramento for those two events.
Can you put me down for that?
Yes. The upcoming board meetings and committee meetings are listed on page 3 and 4, as well as the interagency schedule. Are there any questions or additions to the calendar?
Yeah, Nicole, I'll be out starting January 16th through the end of the month, so I'll miss the board meeting on the 22nd.
Okay. Thank you. Do you have any additional changes?
Thank you so much, Nicole.
Thank you very
appreciate
much.
Appreciate it. All the good work you do, keeping us where we're supposed to be. With that, we will go to Director's Reports, Director Cronin.
Okay, I attended the Rancho California Water District meeting last month. They reelected Bill Wilson as the president of the board. And Jeff Wall came down and gave a presentation to them on the sinkhole. I'm the same one he gave here, and they really enjoyed that. And I also had my update with General Manager.
Very good. I attended the Building Industry Association Legislative Affairs Committee lunch, where the guest speaker was Senator Roth, and he did a very good presentation on overall things going on in the state, and we were able to ask a few questions offline about water and his thoughts, and it's, I think he does a very good job representing a portion of our district in the state Senate. I had a CalDESAL teleconference call with led by the new executive director of CalDESAL, Wendy Ritterbush, who was laying out some of her ideas for the upcoming year. And then, as Paul mentioned, I got a preview of the customer portal, and I can't say enough good things about it, and I look forward to seeing the whole demonstration. Hopefully at the next board meeting, yes, we get a lot of the people that made this happen over for the board meeting. We have great employees at Eastern, but they really have done a fantastic job during this time of changing us over. As I continue to tell them over there, you are our cash register. And if our cash register isn't working, the rest of the operation doesn't work. So that was good, and I look forward to the presentation. Director Record.
MWD Standing Committee Board meetings in December. Some items that I think are worth noting. One is that in finance, we agreed that we would not incorporate water stewardship rate into 2021 and 21-22 budget cycles and just use the year-end balance from 2019-2020 for demand management. We're going to need to come to grips with how we're going to finance those programs going forward. There's been a lot of resistance to any sort of a fixed charge for anything at Metropolitan. So we've got some real challenges ahead of us in finance the coming year. Also approved pure water for San Diego, which is very significant because over the life of that project, if it performs the way they're projecting, it will mean about $285 million in subsidies from Metropolitan to San Diego for that 25-year term. Also approved following an agreement with Bard Water District, which is different than what we have with Palo Verde in that we're only fouling during the summer. It's not for a whole calendar year, which for them, they grow lower value crops that use more water in the summer. And so anxious to see how that works out. We've had some pilot projects with them that have performed very well. Also approved new agreements with Desert Water Agency and Coachella Valley Water District related to our exchange of their state water project allocation for Colorado River Water. And that's been a very good program for all parties. And excited to see that we're going to continue that and made a few changes that are beneficial to everyone. Colorado River Water Users annual conference, good meetings. One was with Coachella and Desert just to kind of celebrate the new agreement. Had a brief meeting with Commissioner Berman, and she's doing well. California Farm Water Coalition board meeting. I represent Metropolitan on that board, and it's a very good group. And Mike Wade is the executive director. Does a very good job of doing outreach and explaining the importance of California agriculture, and especially related to water. Eastern meetings, Aqua, December 3rd through the 6th. A lot of good meetings and a good conference. Update with GM on December 6th, always good. I was able to attend the promotion ceremony for Brigadier General Melissa Coburn on December 6th and introduce myself, and she's very aware of Eastern and what we're doing and is very appreciative. So I was very glad I was able to make that. And then another update with the GM, and then Monday morning group presentation by Paul and GM Miller from Western, and that was a very good presentation and very well received by the group.
Very good. Thank you. And then Director Slauson.
Yes, I attended the RCC Foundation meeting. We discussed the budget and financials and donor outreach, and I did not attend the Marina Valley Chamber of Commerce meeting.
Okay, very good. Do we have any director's comments or for future meetings?
Not for future meetings, but under the consent calendar, we're kind of redoing the wells 201, 202, 203, 205 because there's more yield than we were anticipating. What's the reason for that? Is there anything in particular? Is it just...
go ahead, Joe, but I'll add is...
So, Director, if I can comment, as you recall, recently, as part of our water banking initiative as well as the SARCO program, we drilled those wells, and we completed drilling those wells. This contract award to Tetra Tech is for design of the above-ground facilities, the equipment portion. So once the design has been completed, and part of the design change, as you're aware, we have experienced multiple events by Edison for the public safety power shutoff. So we are adding backup power diesel generators for each one of those wells, given the critical nature of that, of those water production facilities in the valley. So that is part of the amendment to the design engineer, is to incorporate those facilities. Once completed, we will advertise the equipping portion of the contract, and we'll be coming from the board for consideration of award of construction.
But I think you're correct. The wells, when we started the program, we anticipated a certain amount of production.
Right, and there's wells, it's going
to
be.
And they appear to be producing well in excess of those production levels.
Any idea why? Is it just great staff work? Or
lucky location. Well, we knew that was a very high production area.
Yeah.
And of course we went out and acquired those sites, some of them in more advantageous locations than others relative to the residents out there, but that is the kind of production sweet spot out there, and we just saw very high production levels, and also again the groundwater basin's recovering out there. I think it's really good sign.
Yeah, it is primarily a function of geology, and we selected those sites primarily, as Paul indicated, proximity to the riverbed. So we are fortunate that the production is much higher than it is.
That's good news. It doesn't usually work that way, in my experience.
Good. Stephen, do we have a need for closed session?
We do not, Mr. Chair.
Very good. In that case, we will stand adjourned until Wednesday, January 22nd at 9 a.m. Thank you, everyone.